Luke's Gospel and reading in chapter 14. And verse number 16. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper, and bad many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. The Lord will further bless the reading of his word together with what we have heard. There's no doubt about it tonight that this portion that we have read has been used many times in seeking to present the gospel message, seeking to bring home to sinners their need of salvation and the great provision that God has made in the person of Christ. It would be a poor business tonight, us coming to preach the gospel, if we couldn't tell you of the wonderful, wonderful provision that God has provided in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And whatever we may do in life, there's one thing we have great joy in doing tonight, and it's presenting the message of the gospel, for we're absolutely fully persuaded in concerning the gospel. Like Paul, we can say we're not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And thank God we're amongst those tonight who has believed. I would like to ask you, dear soul, in the meeting, have you believed yet to the salvation of your soul? Can you tonight look back, like our brother has been telling us, to that moment in your experience when the burden was gone, and you were able to sing, O happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Savior and my God. My friend, if you haven't that crystal clear experience tonight, then remember, you're still without hope, without Christ, and if you're to leave the body at this moment, I want to tell you, you'd be beyond the reach of mercy for all eternity. Mind you, friend, you may be in your last gospel meeting tonight. You could be hearing the gospel for the last time. And tonight what you do with Jesus will determine where you will be for God's never-ending eternity. How solemn that makes the meeting. It makes it so solemn for those of us who speak. And it makes it solemn for you who listen. For remember, this could be your last gospel meeting. Now to look at our little portion tonight. I want you to think of the table being spread. We read a certain man. Luke loves that word. He uses it in chapter 10, and he speaks of a certain man journeying, and he speaks of a certain Samaritan. He uses it in the next chapter in relation to the man that had 2 sons. But Matthew, in his account, in chapter 22, he speaks of a king making a marriage supper for his son. I want you to think of that supper tonight. For remember, my soul, before you could be invited to a feast, there must be the spreading of the table. That is very simple, but it's very vital. If we went to a feast and the table wasn't spread, it wouldn't really be a feast, and there would be no point in going. But we want to think tonight of the table being spread. My, what a message we have tonight as we preach the glorious gospel concerning our Lord Jesus Christ. The first thing I would like to speak of in connection with the table being spread is this. I want you to think of the cost. Those of us who entertain, we know something of the cost of spreading a table. That's in relation to the natural table. But my friend, tonight, before God could provide salvation and present to you this message of the gospel tonight. You who don't deserve it, I who never deserved it, I want you to think with me of the mighty cost. My friend, I was thinking tonight of that lovely hymn. Down from the glory the Savior came, down to the cross and the death of shame. And thank God the speaker tonight can say, gazing in wonder, I there exclaim, Jesus died for me. Can you say that tonight, my friend? Can you look to Calvary tonight and see a man dying in your stead and say it was for me, yes, all for me, O love of God so great, so free, O wondrous love, I'll shout and sing, he died for me, my Lord the King. There's nothing else, my friend, in life is important. The big thing in life is this, dear soul, is knowing your sins forgiven and peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What a cost. It cost God his only Son. And we read when the fullness of the time was come, what a moment in the calendar of earth's history, we read that God sent forth his Son. The darling of his bosom, the Son from all eternity, had only one Son. I'm always touched when I read that story of this man who had a vineyard, and servant after servant he sent. And then we read these touching words, last of all he sent his Son, his only well-beloved. My friend, in order that we could stand here tonight, the redeemed of God, and in order, dear soul, that we could tell you there's a Savior whose blood was shed upon the cross, God had made heaven of Christ, and the blessed Son of God became man and dwelt amongst us. Wonder of wonders tonight. He dwelt amongst us and trafficked in this scene of time as a homeless stranger in the world his hands had made. It cost him more than becoming man. It cost him to go out to the cross. And lifted up was he to die. Sinner, drink it in tonight in this meeting. It is finished, was his cry. Thank God tonight, he's exalted high in heaven. Well might we as the people of God say, hallelujah. What a Savior. He's my Savior tonight. Tell me, dear soul, is he your Savior? We've never set eyes on you before. We might never see you again. Tell me, dear soul, with eternity before you tonight, is he your Savior? What are you depending on for eternity is the question that's uppermost in our mind. Big thing tonight is this. When you say he's mine, he died for me. 10,000 charms around him shine. But yes, the Lord, I know the cost of sinning. But you know, there's something else. When we look at the earthly table being spread, and we think of the cost, and the cost is all over, there's something else that usually is looked at. Sometimes the lady of the home would walk in, and the table is all spread, and she'll look over it, as it were, for the last time, just before the guests are invited. What's she doing? She's absolutely making sure that everything's on the table. In other words, she's satisfying herself with all the sum. Sometimes we sit down and we have to ask for the salt, the milk or whatever. I want to tell you tonight that our God is absolutely satisfying with it. Oh yes, I want you to think of the cost. What could we tell you tonight, dear soul? That God is absolutely and eternally satisfied with the death of the Lord. You remember then a day that's past, altars were leaking, sacrifice after sacrifice was offered. God had no pleasure, no satisfaction. Priests stood daily, we read, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice. My friend, we read these holy words this night, bringing us to the Lord. My friend, our message concerns Christ tonight. We preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ to him crucified. This man, after he had offered one sacrifice,
sin sat down on the right hand of God.
And the man that they laid in the tomb, the third and appointed morning, the grave was vacant. Christ's grave tonight is vacant. Where is he?
Drawn up and he's gone. And the God's right hand.
God raised him again from the dead. And the apostle tells us he was delivered for our offenses. He was raised again for our justification. We not only preach him crucified, but we preach the death, the burial, and the glorious resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a gospel. My friend, what a gospel.
As we look round the world tonight, what a gospel. It cost God his only son,
the only man that had a right to live. He died upon the cross. And God tonight is absolutely satisfied. Tell me, friend, are you satisfied tonight with the death of Christ? Oh, the speaker can go back to a moment in his experience when as a little orphan schoolboy.
Just 11.5 years on the road of time, what happened? I came to that point in my experience when I was satisfied. It was for me. Yes, all for me, O love of God, so great, so free.
I rested with the judgment of I rested with God as satisfied to look upon Christ and pardon me. I never deserved salvation. There's not a man or woman in the meeting tonight that deserves salvation. God in mercy sent us. We rest tonight in the precious blood that cleanses from every sin. So much so for the spreading of the evil. What's the point in all this? Nobody knows about it. I want you to think of the servant giving out the information.
You see, my friend, not only did God provide, but God in his kindness sends a servant right into our midst. And here this story tells us that there was a servant sent. And if we read Matthew's account and read Luke's account and join them together, we get a full detail. If you look carefully at it tonight, you'll find that the certain man, he said to the servant, and notice please, it's a bond servant, a man that was fully committed, a man that could be trusted. He says to that servant, go to those that are bidden. In other words, they've already been invited. The servant is going for the second time. If you read Matthew's account, that servant comes back and he says, they've refused. The king says, go again. And the king says, present the message to them. Tell them of the expense I went to. Tell them about the oxen and the battling. Tell them I've killed them. Tell them all the story. Present to them the greatness of the cross and the importance of the feast. Tell them to come, for all things are now ready. My friend, it reminds me tonight that God has given us opportunity after opportunity. Here is people, and they have been reminded about the feast, and they have been invited. And now the servant goes out, and notice please, he goes out at supper time. How important. What does that tell me tonight? Here is a servant, and a certain man says, go to those that were bidden. And he speaks of it, just at supper time, what's happening?
This table is already spread.
In other words, the tea, as it were, is on the table.
He says, tell them to come. What does it remind me of tonight, dear? There's very little time to lose. The table's already spread. They're just waiting at the yes on the end. My friend, we've been reminded of this already tonight.
Oh, could I underscore in some soul tonight the shortness of time? The reality tonight of the coming again of our Lord Jesus.
Did I pour into someone's safe soul in this meeting? Oh, dear soul, open your ears tonight and listen. It might be pouring into your ears this message for the last time. The Lord is coming, coming, coming. And the judgment day, we feel like shouting it out tonight, hasten, sinner! Hasten, sinner! Seek the narrow way! We'd love to warn you tonight that there's no time for you to lose. My friend, Jesus' love do not abuse tonight. Heaven or hell, which do you choose tonight? Be in time. I often say in gospel preaching, God has given me one opportunity to receive or reject. It was more than I deserved. For there was many opportunities that I refused. Many's a time he called and I didn't respond. I wonder how many times he has called you. I wonder in this gospel meeting tonight, my soul, how many times God has called you in the gospel, told you of a Savior's love, and told you you need to be saved in this time you were born again. And I find you in your sin. Remember, someday will be the last. Someday will be the last, perhaps tonight. Tonight the question is, what will you do with Jesus? What shall the answer be? But remember, there's a day coming when it's possible you will say, what will he do? My friend, there's a judgment warning. There's a day when the dead shall deliver up the dead. Death and hell shall deliver up the dead. And men shall be brought to stand in space before a throne great and white. And upon that throne who will sit? The man we present tonight is a Savior. We want to tell you he'll then be the judge. And dear soul, too late will be the cry. Jesus of Nazareth has passed by. Oh, can we impress upon you in the dark closing days of this gospel age that you have no time to lose tonight. Not a moment to lose, friend. We're in the very last moments of the day of grace, we believe. The day of grace is flying. Soon there'll be no oil for wine. I wonder, is there some soul in this meeting? You've sinned for years. Your sins tonight are dark and foul. And you realize I deserve eternal punishment. Be prepared to take a look at the cross. Rest in wonder here all your sins in Jesus. What a meeting this would be. What a night of rejoicing this would be. It would stir the very heavens with rejoicing. Who sinner trusted Christ and rested with a judgment of me. Payment tonight God will not thrice demand. First at my bleeding sure in his heart, and then again at mine. My friend, how simple God's way of salvation. It's not trying or doing one's best, simply believing on Jesus, the weary and sinful blind friend. I want you to think, not only of the table being spread and the servant being sent, but I want you to think of this. One with almost sure to think of memory. You see, when it's a feast, if it's just a party on earth, you can, my dear friend, afford to neglect it. But tonight, you have a choice to make on this gospel meeting. You have a choice to make, either to receive the rejected man and excite with Christ and suffer the reproof. Or else, my friend, to go on in your sins. Little you cannot be. This gospel meeting, you will, whether you believe it or whether you think it, it makes no difference. You'll make a choice just to go on or to stop and be saved tonight. Oh, could we impress you with what it means to refuse? What did it mean for these men?
Listen to these words. None of those men that were there.
See, sinner, this is what's entailed in preaching the gospel. Tonight in this gospel meeting, if your eternal welfare is really at stake. And what's really at stake tonight, friend, is the difference between being in heaven and being shut out. Either to taste of that supper in a coming day, and to rejoice around the Lamb, and to sing eternally, "Worthy, O Lamb of God, art thou."
Or else, my friend, to weep and wail, and gnash your teeth through time. Have we lost it tonight? Have we lost it, what it means for a sinner to refuse? You see, they got their last suppers. It wasn't their first invitation. Oh, the grace of God. There came a moment when they got their last. They may not have known it. They got their last. The writing is now made clear. None of those men that were there shall taste of my supper. I wonder, friend, when life is over and ended, and when the little journey here is gone, and all the rush and toil for you is ended, will you be inside? Or will you be outside? That's the question you want to get settled in this gospel meeting. Where will I spend eternity? This question we sing at times comes to you and me. Tell me, what shall your answer be? Where will you spend eternity? Friend, it must be heaven or hell. Going to live forever. A thousand years of gold or course shall be in eternity, but where is the question? Could be in heaven, and you could be sure of it before you leave this meeting. But if you refuse, remember that. Then I want you to think with me of Shakespeare. I love that old hymn. But we sing at times, God's house is filling back. Yet there is room.
Some soul will be the last, yet there is room.
Wonder, friend, are you going to fill one of those? As I read this, it touched my heart. There was men invited. The master of the house really wanted them there. Remember, God willeth not the death of any man, but that all might come to repentance. But it touched my heart as I read. Seek for those that were invited. It wasn't empty. It wasn't empty. Every sheep was there. My friend, that is solemn.
I want to tell you, and I believe it with all my heart,
there is a seat in heaven for you. I believe it with all my heart.
There's not a man in the meeting tonight. But God has made provision for you. My friend, if we didn't believe it tonight, we wouldn't be here. The blood of Jesus Christ tonight is sufficient to meet the need of every sinner. God has made provision in Christ for you.
But the message was, come. Sinner had a responsibility.
In the gospel, God has a responsibility to provide.
For we can't provide for ourselves. But in the gospel, the sinner has a responsibility. That's all they have to do.
You see, in Matthew 22,
he had the garments ready.
And it always touches my heart as I think of the king making a feast, not knowing who would come. And he had a garment that had him on.
If it was a big man, there was a garment. If it was a small man, there was a garment. Every man stood in the same platform and in the same cloth, robed in the garments that for the prisoners. My friend, if you're a religious man tonight, you can be saved.
If you're a poor, dark, down and out sinner, and sins as dark and as foul as can be. The same provision, nation, God is able to bring every man into heaven. Not at works, but bless you both. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. Not at works, bless any man. God has made provision. Every man that came, there was a garment for him. What a wonderful wardrobe had this servant had. Every man that sat in his presence, sat robed in garments fit for his own pleasure. My friend, it's great tonight to be saved. When life is over and done, to stand arrayed in beauty, that's not our own. We'll be dressed in garments fit for the King's presence, robed in garments of salvation. Sit at his table for all. Thrills our very souls. We revel tonight in the value of the precious blood. We who are not a people, poor Gentile dogs and cats, with no hope, no hold of God, should so love us to give us something to provide for us for all. My touches our heart. You will be simple enough tonight to receive him and be sure of heaven as if you were there. Or you could be foolish enough to pass the same time. Many's a soul has sat in gospel meetings like this. Many's a soul has been sung to sleep with the songs of Zion, and the mother has prayed for them, and they missed heaven and they missed home. And tonight they're down in the lake, down in hell itself. And what's the future? Is the lake of fire. It never end. Luke 16 will read of a flame and a man. In the book of the Revelation, listen. It's the end. It's the lake of fire. Soul in the meeting, if you die without Christ, you'll be in the lake for all eternity. For there was a man went into the cross and the death, and he sunk in deep mire where there's no standing, he was made to cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It was in order that I might never be in the lake. He endured the cross, despising the shame. He bled and he died upon the cross, making a tomb. God is satisfied tonight to take the speaker into heaven. Because Jesus died for me. Sinner, drink it in. And be saved and fill a seat in heaven and then pass the seat in.